a good and a blessed Father's Day to all of you this morning. Those of you who are fathers, of course. But in actual fact, this day, the Father's Day, is a day that we remember what the Lord has to say, and especially with regard to Him as our Father. I'm taking this opportunity to give this Father's message at Island Glades Gospel Center because I feel that it is a good and opportune time for me to do so. The topic or the theme of this study is Our Father. It is a long study, and because of this, I'm giving you notes so that you can have a reference when I go too fast. When you go back home, you can refer to what I've said by going through the notes again. Certain parts I'm going to go over very fast because this message, this study is rather long. But where it is necessary, I will pause and I will emphasize. So, this is the reason, another reason why I give you the notes. We are going to deal this morning, on this Father's Day, with three important topics. Firstly, honor God the Father in heaven. Honor your Father on earth. Number two, obey the Father in heaven. Obey your Father on earth. And finally, the third one will be the obligations of the Father to His children on earth. Honor God the Father in heaven. The first point I want to emphasize is the Lord Jesus Christ, being the Son of the Father, sought His Father's honor. Even as He was about to ascend the cross, in John 17:1, He prayed, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee, that the Son may honor Thee." And so we find that the Son sought His Father's honor even at a time when He was about to die. That was His prayer. Keep in mind that as the Son sought the Father's honor, that He was actually of the same status as the Father. It has been said that He and the Father are one. They are equal. It has been said, Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, thought it equality with God not something to grasp at, but He gave it all up in order that He may become man, made fashion like a man, and took the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. That was Jesus the Son, equal with God, and yet was subservient to God the Father as a son. The Jews sought to kill Him because He said God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. So here was a son, equal with God, and yet the son playing the role of a son, being obedient to God, to the Father, and showing honor to Him. So the son was, at that time, when He was on earth, and still is now, and still will be subject to God the Father in the future. Now, we see this with regard to the time when He was on earth. Then, it's recorded in Matthew 26:42, "My Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done." Here was the Son, equal with the Father, and yet was obedient. And He said, "I know what I'm going for. But if this cup of suffering ahead of me, I am not able to remove it, Lord, I will drink it. Let thy will be done. That was the purpose of coming into this earth, that he might fulfill the important responsibility of saving man for their disobedience. So he had to be obedient. Now, after the Lord Jesus Christ had died and has risen into heaven, today we read in 1 Corinthians 11:3 that the head of Christ is still God. The Son is subject to God. And this will be so in the future when he comes again at the end, when he shall conquer all his enemies. The last enemy will be death. And at the end of it all, the Son also himself shall be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Why am I saying all these things? I'm trying to pass on to you this very important thought. Here was a Son equal with a Father, and yet was obedient to the Father. He could have exerted his right of equality with God. He did not. But because he was a Son, he took a second role of obedience unto the Son and to the Father. This is the whole emphasis of the thoughts that I have been passing on to you just a few moments ago. Now, the Son, when he was on earth, taught his disciples that they too must honor the Father. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. Many of you refer to this as the Lord's Prayer, but actually it is the disciples' prayer. And he taught his disciples, "Pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In other words, the disciples were taught to honor the Father. Not the exclusive text. Today many people think that God is the Father of all mankind. No, he is not the Father of all mankind. He is the Creator of all mankind. But he is the Father of only those who will receive him. So that we read in John chapter 1 and verse 12, "As many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God." And so we find that this exclusiveness of a group of children belong to only those who have received Christ into their hearts and have believed in him. So our Father, to these people who are his children, "Pray ye." Again, look at the inclusive role of this term. "Pray ye." That's all those who can say our Father. All these people who are included in the children of God, those who have received him, and to whom have been given the authority to become the children of God, they must honor the Father. They are to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." And so we see that even the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to honor the Father as he himself would honor the Father. "Hallowed be thy name." The third thing we need to know about the Son's relationship with the Father is that he also taught not only the disciples to honor the Father, but all fathers on earth should also teach their children to honor God the Father in heaven. Now, we take one case which is found and recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. This is the case of Eli the priest. Eli the priest had two sons, and God said to Eli at the very beginning, "I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever." That was the instruction that Eli should teach his children, to walk before God, to honor him always. But he did not. Later on, this was what God was going to say to Eli for failing to teach his children. What happened? His two sons would abuse all the offerings that the people would bring to God. They would steal the offerings for themselves instead of giving as offerings to God and therefore to the priests. But they would steal these offerings to themselves. They would send their henchmen to steal all these offerings and give to them. Second, they went and slept with women in the temple. These were the children of priests. And God was angry. God said, "Thou honorest thy son above me." Why? In spite of the glaring things that the children did, we do not read of Eli speaking a word against them. We do not read of Eli correcting the children. He just pampered them. So that God said, "You honor them more than me." And that cannot be. And so we find God said, "Them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." What happened to the children? They were slain in battle. What happened to Eli? Eli, when he saw the ark of God returning to Jerusalem, he heard it when he was sitting on a chair. He was so shocked, he fell down and he died. And so we find that those who honor God, God will honor. Those who do not honor God, God will likely esteem. And if you read the biographies of many missionaries who in the past have honored God, they have been highly honored. And of course, the most famous one was that famous Olympian who refused to run the race because that event that he was down for was to be run on a Sunday. And that Sunday was a Lord's Day for him. He must remember the Lord. And though he had every potential of winning that event, he gave it up. He refused. But later on, he ran another race, which was not his favorite. And it was not held on a Sunday. And because he honored God, God honored him, and he went, he claimed gold for that race. And so we have many a time read of accounts of God's servants who honor him, and God honors it. So it is very important that we must realize these two. And not only we realize, but those of you who are fathers and mothers too, to teach your children to honor your God. Fourthly, the saints, all of us, should also seek to honor God, the Father, in their lives on earth. Now, again, God complained. And that was at the end of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. They should have learned better. Eli was a priest. He was disobedient. He was not bringing honor to God. He died. His sons died. They should have learned. But no. At the end of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, we find God making a complaint again. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord. Unto you, O priests that despise my name. Priests that despise my name. Let us be careful how we use the name of God today. Let us be very careful. Now, young people today, perhaps you think that this is of no special account. But because it is used so often, you think that it is part and parcel of modern living. Oh my God! That is despising the name of God. Using that name in vain. Those words should not come from the Christian's mouth. But some trying to disguise that, and they say ONG, as if nobody else understands what ONG means. And perhaps they again disguise it. Oh my gosh! Now all these have their origin in God, God's name. And we need to be careful. We must not take the name of God in vain. We must honor God, the God whom we serve, the God whom we love, the God whom we worship. We cannot use that name as swear words or as words of no intent at all. We need to honor God if God is to highly esteem us in our relationship with Him. So Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And certainly, with such words, people outside will not glorify God the Father. Certainly, with these words, they will think that you are just one of them. We need to show that in our words and in our walk that we are different. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." If we dare to pray this prayer, let us be consistent in the use of our words with reference to God, that we honor Him. Well, that's the part where we learn that we need to honor God. Even Jesus, the Son, honored the Father. What about us? And that comes to the next topic. Honor our Father. Honor your Father on earth. This is the implication or implied responsibility of what the Lord Jesus Christ as a Son obeying the Father was all about. It is the children's duty. We read in Exodus 20:12, Deuteronomy chapter 5:16, Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and thy mother. This is a duty. It is a command which is required of every child. And that means it applies to everyone here. Today is Father's Day. It may be addressed to fathers. But today, it is also addressed to everyone, because everyone is a child of the father or the mother. So all of us are responsible. And this is a message not only for fathers. It is for all, because children, honor thy father and thy mother. Every child, everyone standing here, are sitting here this morning, has a father and has a mother. You cannot just appear from nowhere. Now, the point of the precept. Before I deal with, in real essence, honor thy father and thy mother, let us consider two cases of what it means to honor your father. God called Abraham friend, James 2:23. Abraham believed God and he was called the friend of God. That's very, very gracious of God. Jesus also called his disciples friends in John 15:15. "Henceforth I have called you friends, not servants, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Friends. Is it therefore right for us to address God friend? Is it right therefore to address the Lord Jesus Christ friend? Sometimes children are taught to treat their parents as buddies, companions, and friends. And often we find that children do not even have to call their dad's father, but call their fathers by name. God has a right to call Abraham friend. Has Abraham the right to call God friend? Jesus has a right to call his disciples friends. Have they a right to call Jesus friends? Never do you read of these people calling God or Jesus friends. No. The disciples always addressed the Lord Jesus Christ as Master, Lord. Not even Jesus. Jesus was the name the devil would use. Jesus we know, but who are you? So said the devil. And so every time we see the Lord emphasized to his disciples that they, while he had the right to call them friends, they should realize that they must know that he is still their Lord. You call me Lord, you call me teacher, you call me master, and you are right, for so I am. That is what is meant by honoring. Honoring your father, honoring your Lord, calling them by their proper reverential name, and not by any buddy-buddy name that we choose to choose in our culture of trying to be more trendy. We must know where the Lord can be our friend and where the Lord can be our master and Lord. Now let's go back to honor your parents. What is the meaning, the connotation? Honor is timao in Greek, and according to Strong's Concordance, the word means to prize, fix a valuation upon, by implication to revere, honor, value. It is derived from a word meaning valuable, costly or honored, esteemed or beloved, dear, honorable, precious. That's what your father should be to you children. You should give him the proper honor and value. You should treat him as valuable, somebody who is very costly, and therefore should be given every honor and esteem. Should regard him as your beloved, very precious to you. That is what honor your father and your mother means. Not to treat the father, the parents, as friends. What about the concept? Therefore, honoring father and mother, what does it mean? It means it is to have respect for your father and mother in their relationship with you, that they are your parents. Whatever happens, no, they are your parents. You cannot change that. They were the ones who produced you. You are their children, and nothing on earth can change that. They are your parents. So respect them for this. Second, respect them for their rank over you, that they are older than you and therefore more experienced. Now, apart from your parents, young people, children, all of us should always have respect for somebody older than us. And that's why today the government is very much concerned when youths go up the bus and they see a vacant seat, they sit down. And then later on, an elderly person comes to the bus, and they just continue sit there while the poor grandmother or the poor grandfather with a walking stick hangs on perilously onto the bus or onto whatever that can be steady in the bus. Children do not even get up and tell the older person, please have a seat. Today we find that even in many circles where there's an empty seat at a dinner table, it is the young people who will rush there first, and then the older, slower ones, the old elderly people are left behind. And when they are to move around, when they find difficulty across the road, do the young help. There is honor. And again, you cannot change the rank. When a person is older, he is older. The older person cannot be made younger to you. He is always older. Respect him. Respect him. Thirdly, in their regard for you, these older people do care for you. Of course, I know there are the older people who do not bother much, who nag at you and so on. But whatever it is, even though they nag at you, remember, they are still your parents and they are still older than you. That you cannot change. And for these two, you need to respect them. So, this respect is to be reciprocated in your attitude towards them, in the words that you use, in the acts that you carry out, not only because they have done good for you, but they also are what they are, your parents, your father, your mother. And so children need to learn to show respect, so that when you disagree with them, you can still disagree in a very gracious manner, your attitude. You can still disagree in a very obedient manner and present your case perhaps, and slowly talk to your parents, but not to shout at them and not to ignore them. And we find today in cases in the media where children even murder their parents, murder the older ones. Is it right? This is the clear teaching of the Bible. Now, the precept, honor thy father and my mother, is stated clearly in the Ten Commandments. That was for Israel. It is repeated in the New Covenant for the Church in Ephesians chapter 6. And it is the only commandment which comes with a promise that those who honor their father and mother, they have a promise. It promises for Israel in the Old Covenant prospect of a long life, that thy days may be prolonged. And as far as Israel is concerned, of course, it's a physical blessing that they will have physically long life, prosperity in the land, that they will be taken into the land and they will occupy that place and they will find much prosperity. But today you find that Israel is not enjoying all these promises. Why? They have been disobedient. And the greatest disobedience ever to be committed by these Israelites was to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And today they suffer. Today they are out of their land, so to speak. Today, they are not enjoying the prosperity. They are being surrounded by enemies. And so, that was a promise given to Israel's children if they were obedient and they honored God. For believers in the New Covenant, those of us in the New Testament, we are promised prosperity and longevity also, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long in the earth. Of course, this is more in the spiritual realm. We have no land to go to physically. We have a land in heaven. And of course, we are blessed. But the greatest blessing we can ever have is the eternal life that belongs to us when we leave this earth. Children, honor your parents. It is not only the children's duty, it is God's decree. God's precept in Matthew chapter 15 verse 4. God commanded. God did not only suggest, God commanded, honor thy father and mother. And for those who refuse, God had a punishment. He that curses father or mother, let him die the death. And what is this death? Deuteronomy 21:18-21 has reference to it. In the Old Testament, if the son of an Israelite father or mother is rebellious, disobedient, gross disobedience of course, the son will be brought by the parents to the elders at the gate, or to be judged at the judges. And then if found guilty, this son, this rebellious son, will be stoned to death. That's what is meant there. You die the death. He will be stoned to death. Because disobedience with God is a very, very serious thing. Disobedience brought in sin. Disobedience, by disobedience, death came in. And Jesus had to die. It cost the Father his Son's life. Very serious thing. Do not pretend to honor God in not honoring parents. This about honoring, cursing father or mother was said in the context of the Jews bringing in their traditions to overcome and overlook the commandments of God. They are very clever. They would say to their parents, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. He is not to honor his father with it. In other words, if a child in this traditional way gives a gift to God, put something in the bag, that something that he puts in the bag, by right he should be giving to his parents, he says, no, father, mother, sorry, I wanted to give to you, but God received the priority. I have given what I'm supposed to give to you to God. So sorry, you have none. I'm free from it. Now, this is not the argument. You need to pay your duty to God. You need to pay your duty to your parents on earth. You cannot give that as excuse. So children must remember this. Sometimes they say, we have not enough, we give to God, and then we cannot spare anything for you anymore. You are not free. Well, we need to honor the Father on earth. We need to honor the Father in heaven. But there also comes another responsibility, obey. Again, this is a word which many people do not like. Obey the Father in heaven. Well, let's see. The Lord, the Son, himself obeyed. Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father. Jesus the Son, though equal with the Father, obeyed him. And we read this very clearly in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. He was in very nature God. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But for our sakes, he gave them all up in order that he might be made unto like the fashion of a man and became a servant in order that he might be obedient to God and go to the cross for us. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, equal with the Father, yet was obedient. He obeyed. He not only honored God, the Father, he also obeyed the Father. If he could do this, why is it so difficult that we cannot do this to the Heavenly Father? Obey the Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father says, obey your father and your mother on earth. You see the link? You see the chain of command that comes down? Jesus did not only obey the Heavenly Father, he was obedient unto death. So that we read, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Being found in appearance as a man, he became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. I pointed out this morning at the Lord's Supper that the Lord Jesus Christ, he obeyed God. He obeyed the Father on earth and the Mother on earth. He obeyed. Why must he die? He died the death of disobedience, of a disobedient child. He took the place of a child who had disobeyed, who must be stoned to death, and he died on the cross in his behalf, in your behalf and in my behalf, on our behalf. He died for us on that cross. Now you see a better picture. Why? Through disobedience, death came upon all men. And now you know also why Jesus must die. Although he was obedient, because He was taking your place and my place. We had become disobedient. He must die. And he died on the cross. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Luke chapter 23, verse 46, as I pointed out this morning. The Son died. He was obedient unto death because of our disobedience. Children on earth should also obey their Father in heaven. The example had already been set. If the Son, the Lord himself, equal with God, could obey the Father, why cannot children on earth obey what the Lord had commanded them to do? And their duty was, children, obey your parents. See the example set by Jesus in his obedience to his Father in heaven. I have pointed that out already. Earthly children are also to submit to the Father in heaven. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, yes, earthly fathers, which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Of course, it is taken for granted, assumed, that fathers on earth correct their children and teach the children to honor their parents. Why therefore should not these very children honor the Father in heaven? Now, what does it mean, this concept of obeying the Father? We have discussed honoring the Father. Now, what about obeying the Father? Obey is the Greek word hupakouo. That is to hear under as a subordinate, to listen attentively, by implication to heed or conform to a command or authority, hearken, be obedient to. In order to obey, you must listen. You cannot listen if you do not obey. You cannot obey if you do not listen. It's impossible. You have to listen. And as far as God is concerned, how do you listen? Of course, you must read His word. Because He makes His wishes known through His word. And unless we read the word of God, we don't listen. We don't do. One needs to live out what the word says. When we read the word of God, we just don't allow it to go one in one ear and come out another ear, or to go in one eye, come out another eye, because we see, we read. But rather, what we read and what we hear must be put out in practice. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And that's why the Lord said in Luke 6:45, "Why call you ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" No point calling the Lord Jesus Christ Lord, honoring Him, so to speak, but we don't practice what we say. Obey. We go on to the next point. Jesus the Son obeyed the Father in heaven. He has set the example, though equal with the Father, yet He obeyed the Father. We therefore need to obey the Father on earth. Children, obey your parents. The obedience of Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary. Luke 2:51. He went down, Jesus went down with them, Joseph and Mary, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. For 12 years, we do not read of the life history of the Lord Jesus Christ as a young boy. This one sentence sums up all that happened during those 12 years. He was subject unto them. Wasn't he the Son of God? Wasn't Mary the one who must address him as the Holy One? And yet he must subject himself to Mary. He must subject himself to Joseph. And why can't we children, who are not even equal with God, not even equal with the Lord, subject ourselves to our parents? And so the comparison speaks. There is one case in Jeremiah chapter 35, 18 and 19, where the obedience of the Rechabites was rewarded by God Himself. We read, "Unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he had commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever." What happened? Jonadab the father had given a command to his children: do not drink. Do not drink. And God wanted to test him and his children. God told Jeremiah, get some wine and put before them and ask them to drink. And so Jeremiah went to get some pots of wine, plenty pots of wine, and put them all before the children of Rechab. Drink. And they said, no, we will not drink. Why? Because our father tells us not to drink. And because of their obedience to their father, God rewarded them. And he said, that house will ever have people, or that family will always have members in that family serving me, standing before me. In contrast to Eli and his sons, who dishonored God, who disobeyed God, and Eli is honoring the children more than God. So the order to the children on earth is obey your fathers. If the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, could obey his earthly father Joseph, his earthly mother Mary, why could not we, who are earthlings, obey our parents as well? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. It is obeying in all things. This is well pleasing to the Lord. Because obedience requires going the full way. However, there may be some things which parents may tell the children to do which may not be pleasing to God. What happens? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Obey your parents in the Lord. You obey your parents insofar as the command is not to dishonor the Lord. And if the command is worship an idol, of course you cannot, because that is not in the Lord. That for that you will have to stand up for the Lord. So when there's a choice between what is right for the Lord and what is right for the earthly parent, when that earthly parent is against what the Lord teaches, then you have to stand up for the Lord, just as Daniel did when he stood up for the Lord. Now, let us contrast the ominous signs, the signs of the present days. We are told in Romans 1:28-30 that in the present day, today, right now, in the days when Romans was written, up to today, now, we find that the people have turned against God. And because they have turned against God, God also had turned against them, and God had allowed them to go their own way, which would be depraved, which would be immoral and evil. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And among the many things listed in Romans 1:28-30, which the Lord said should not be done, which were evil, which were the fruits of a depraved mind, was they disobeyed their parents. And so you find that disobedience to parents is a very great sin. It is a very, very serious and solemn sin. And that is why today we find children, because they have been disobedient to parents, we find so many crimes lately, even in our country, committed by young people, committed by children below 17, committed by children between 17 to 28, and so on. And so we find that all this is happening. They are the signs of the present age. But then we must also know that in the perilous times of the last days, again in 2 Timothy 3:1 and 2, among the list of things that would be the signs of the last days was disobedience to parents. Disobedience to parents. So you find that as we come to the last days, meaning that Christ is coming soon, the end of the age is coming to an end, we shall see more and more children disobeying their parents. Children, parents have no time to teach their children to obey. Children disobey their parents, and they go further afield, disobey God. Is obeying parents relevant today? Now my question comes as we finish this part of the study. Is obeying parents relevant today? Children, obey your parents. Or parents should treat their children as buddies, as equals. How should we treat our children? This is an issue that many people are asking today. Now comes the last point. The obligation of the father to his children on earth. Thus, as children have to honor the father and to obey the father has certain obligations to carry out towards the children too. A father should not taunt or provoke his children. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction, or we see in King James Version, nurture and admonition of the Lord. What do these key words in this text in Ephesians 6:4 mean? Let's look at them again. Fathers, do not exasperate. Exasperate comes from a Greek word, paroxysmo. It means to anger alongside, enrage, anger, provoke to wrath. In other words, there are certain fathers who provoke their children to wrath. How do they do so? Well, simple thing is making promises but never carry out. Promise to take them out but you never do so. Unless, of course, as it happened, I just read today's paper of what happened just a few days ago when the storm collapsed the tower on UMNO building, and there was still a car in the crater that had been created, and it seemed that they only came to know it just yesterday after 2 days. The event had occurred, and it was found out that the driver had gone to fetch the daughter in school, but the father never turned up. That was a proper and good reason for not turning up. But if you promise your children that you will turn up and you do not, then you of course make your children angry. Once is okay, twice is not okay, third is very bad, fourth you are provoking them. That's no good. And so there are many things where fathers sometimes provoke their children. So you need to take care. And that's why there comes the opposite direction that fathers are advised to take. Treat your children as equal and as buddies and as companions. Paideia, tutorage, that's where we got pediatrics. education or training, by implication, disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction, nurture. Instead, we have got to tutor our children, educate, train them, discipline them, correct them, chasten if needs be, instruct and nurture. In other words, for every correction that you give to your children, you must have a reason. Explain to them why you have to take that step, why you have got to do what you have to do, so that they understand that they will not be provoked unnecessarily, that you are beating them up, punishing them for that which is unnecessary and making them angry. Bring them up in the training and instruction. Instruction is nuthesia, calling attention to. By implication means a mild rebuke or warning. Of course, not every mistake must be punished and chastened. Sometimes you need to give a warning, a word warning, and so on. Well, you know better. Whatever it is, we must train, discipline, correct our children, that they will obey and honor parents. A father should train his children. Hebrews 12:7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is whom the father chasteneth not? The word chasteneth is not punish. It is to educate. It is to bring up, and if to be corrected with an explanation why it is done, and so on. Some people do not like the word train, because to train your son means that you treat your son as an animal. You know, an animal trainer. So you treat your son as an animal. No. You need to educate your son, correct your son, so that they behave, he behaves the way that he should behave. For what son is not disciplined by his father? It is assumed to be natural act for a father to discipline his son. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. I'm sure many of us here who have grown up, we respect some of the strict parents that we have. And because of them, we are what we are today. They have been strict. At that time, we may not like it. But today, we thank God for them, because what they have done is for our best. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is not train up a child in the way you think he should go. It is train up a child in the way he should go. In other words, you must know the child, and to bring him up in the right way, the way that he should go, you go along with him, step together with him, and so bring him up in the way he should go. Alright, a father should talk his children the word of God and how to walk worthy of God. What do I mean by talk? Well, it is from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way. In other words, you need to spend time with your children. Spend time with your children. Talk to them when you sit in your house. Today, father, mother, son, daughter can sit at a table. They never talk. They text. They email. They use Facebook. They don't talk. You see, it's not true. I've seen it in my own family. And of course, it has been made into a joke by some members, that father, mother, son, daughter would sit at one table and never whisper a word, but they were talking. Well, teach them, spend time with them, talk with them, walk with them. When you lie down, you put them to sleep. You know, I do not know, but from personal experience, I find that all my children have this to say. that they treasured the most the time they spent with the mother when they are about to sleep. When the mother spends much time with them, telling them Bible stories, praying with them, praying for them. Every child of mine has this testimony to say about the mother. Come Mother's Day, and that's the message that they will often repeat again and again. They treasured their mother. So it is good for us to spend time with the children when you lie down, when you rise up. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. There must not only be the talk, there must also be the walk. You must not only exhort, you must be an example. Last night, when I was preparing this, then I received an email from somebody, a member of my family, from my daughter to her dad. She wrote, "Hi Dad, I'm on the ERL on the way back from Langkawi after our bank's leadership program, which went on very well, praise God. As I reflected on what has been shared to our senior leaders over the past last 5 days, I feel so blessed to know that I, together with Chris and Elvin, her other two siblings, have learned many of these leadership principles and values from young in the home. These principles are so fundamental, yet many struggle with these issues way into their adulthood. Some are even in denial. You and Mum not only instructed us from the Word, but also taught us from your example. I'm truly grateful." The daughter just came back from a 5-day conference of all the leaders in Bank Negara, the central bank. And they were going through a leadership training course, a seminar, where my daughter was supposed to convene for them. And so we find that children appreciate what the parents would do for them when young. Very often you will not know this. It is only at times like this when your children recall back the times when they spend with your parents, then they really treasure the benefits they got from all of you. So parents, do spend time, talk to your children. A father should treat his children with compassion. Now sometimes children go wrong, children disobey. Please don't tell them, "Get out, you are no more my son, you are no more my daughter." Have compassion. Psalm 103:13 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Now, time permits me to go on, but I wanted to speak to you actually regard to the prodigal son, of how the father had compassion on the son and brought him back, though the son was so disobedient. Alright, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Okay, with this I conclude. What have I said? I have mentioned our father. Honor God the Father in heaven. Honor your father on earth. Obey your father in heaven. Obey your father on earth. And then remind the fathers of their obligations to their children. So in the post bag 2 days ago in the Star, a parent reported more than 60% of the students felt that their parents exercised too much control over them. Similarly, they also felt the teachers controlled them too much. They would listen to their friends more than their parents. Now the question: are the precepts, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right; honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise," relevant today? This is a question which I'd like you to think about. Would you expect this of your children this Father's Day? That your parents, your children are prepared to honor you, to obey you. This is the best present if you can expect that. This is taken from my rumination. Those of you who have been receiving it for this week, for today. Points to ponder. Quotation from Hebrews 12:7. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Today, is it possible that some may ask the question? For what father is not disciplined by his son? Think about it. Ponder. Blessed Father's Day to all of you. May the Lord bless you. Please don't give your father e-cards to wish him blessed day. And with this, I complete. I try.